Good morning, world. With news and commentary for the 13th morning of June 2005, I'm King David McKenzie. As of 9 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time, here's how the world's been treating itself. The G8 nations may have written off over $40 billion in third world debt, but Sir Bob Geldof, organizing that Live 8 benefit concert scheduled for the 2nd of July, says it's only a beginning. Romilly Greenhill of the British Action Aid Group says it will do little for people in over 40 other third world countries that need similar relief. And speaking of Live 8, Pink Floyd is going to be reforming for the Hyde Park London performance of that event. I suspect Mike Molloy might actually like that news. Australia's foreign debt may send that country over the cliff, or so says Labour Party leader Kim Beazley. Australia's Tory Premier John Howard was one of GWB's first allies in the war against Iraq. Beazley told a Labour conference in Sydney yesterday that instead of waging war and giving millionaires tax cuts, Howard should have worried more about Australia's $425 billion debt and investments on the country's infrastructure. Beazley specifically cited schools and roads as needing immediate repairs across Australia. A Canadian court has rejected the claim of a group of organic farmers against Frankenfood engineers Monsanto and Bayer. The farmers claim pollen from nearby crops of genetically modified canola contaminated the crops on organically farmed fields. Saskatchewan's Organic Direction Group plans to repeal that ruling. Almost 41 years after the murder of civil rights activists Michael Schwerner, Andy Goodman, and James Chaney in central Mississippi, a former Baptist minister and Ku Klux Klansman, Ray Keelan, will be going on trial today for organizing that murder. The murders took place near Philadelphia, Mississippi, on June 21, 1964. The defendant was charged this January after living quietly near the murder site since the early 60s. There's been a lawsuit filed challenging Michigan's constitutional ban on lesbian and gay marriage. The filers are lawyer Jesse Olson and partner Tabitha Flatow, who appear to have cribbed much of their document from the Lambda Legal Defense and ACLU challenge of Nebraska's ban 2 years ago. There could be another Canadian election triggered by two votes of confidence in the current parliament tomorrow. The Tories hope at least one could topple the minority Liberal government, even though polls show that they would have no chance of improving their position in Ottawa compared to last year's elections. The latest Decima poll showed the Liberals at 37%. And the Tories at 23%, with the New Democrats and Bloc Québécois bringing up the rear. The leader of the Bloc Québécois, the federal political party that wants Quebec to declare independence from Canada, will announce later today whether he will try to take over the provincial Parti Québécois. Gilles Duceppe is expected by some to quit the Bloc in order to replace current party head Bernard Landry, who resigned last week. The Parti Québécois was first led to provincial prominence by René Lévesque in the mid-1970s. A Rock Against Racism event in Hamilton, Ontario was canceled last weekend. Hamilton police were concerned about threats of violence from a neo-Nazi gang, the Southern Ontario Skinheads. The event may be rescheduled next month. More information on that can be found on the web at antiracistaction.ca. There's been a growing neo-Nazi problem in Hamilton over the last few years. Testing on that suspected case of mad cow disease in the U.S. may take up to 2 weeks, so says the U.S. Ag Department. Tests will be carried out at facilities in Ames, Iowa, and Wybridge, England. If confirmed, it would be the second case of mad cow detected stateside. And you soon may not be needing to swear on the Bible to be a juror in New South Wales. There's legislation in front of the state parliament in that Australian state that will eliminate the use of the Bible for that oath. In some instances, the Quran has been used in place of the Bible already. A brief breather here from the news, and a reminder that this newscast and commentary originate from three different places on the World Wide Web, from WhiteRoseSociety.org, RadioForAll.net, and Radio.IndieMedia.org. I do ask that you do offer whatever support you can to these three sites, as well as any online or broadcast radio stations that you are listening to the program over. Take that into consideration today, won't you? Thanks. Mike Tyson's career as a boxer is probably over. Saturday night, he went six rounds against a hand-picked nobody called Kevin McBride. After headbutting McBride in a lame attempt to get disqualified, Tyson simply quit as the bell rang for the seventh round. Perhaps Tyson was consciously emulating a champion thug of 40 years ago, one Sonny Liston, who failed to answer the bell for the seventh in his February 64 loss to Muhammad Ali. But at least Liston was never a convicted rapist, as is Tyson. Maybe he can get Vince McMahon to be his next promoter. Then again, he's already gone through the WWE route, hasn't he? Come to think of it, yeah. On the undercard of that same match, Muhammad Ali's daughter, Layla, stopped Erin Tuffill to become the first woman to win a World Boxing Council title, the WBC Super Middleweight Championship. Proud Papa was present at the match. Krispy Kreme, the stateside donut maker, is quitting Canada. The company made a big splash into the Great White North 4 years ago, but its Canadian subsidiary, Cremico, filed for bankruptcy in April. They blamed the popularity of low-carb diets. Perhaps Canadians also prefer their local bakery's product to an underbaked big-name pastry. There were hundreds of nude bicyclists on the streets on Saturday, and not just at nudist resorts, either. 100 in London's Hyde Park, dozens more in Madrid, San Francisco, Confederation Park in Ottawa, La Fontaine Park in Montreal, Boulder, Colorado, Chicago, Knoxville, Tennessee, Amsterdam's main train terminal. It was all a protest against global guzzling of gasoline. Another such protest during Southern Hemisphere summer is planned next year. More information can be gotten at worldnakedbikeride.org. That's worldnakedbikeride.org. Outsourcing of jobs isn't just a problem stateside. Qantas, the Australian airline, is telling Canberra it may cut over 3,000 jobs and move other maintenance-related jobs offshore if Singapore Airlines were allowed to add flights on the Pacific route to the United States. A mainly personal bit here. I spent much of the weekend watching a couple of amusements. The first was rather unintentional, I should say, and that was the time last week when Bill O'Reilly on Fox News showed once and for all his ego is bigger than his brain by thinking he could possibly debate the value of Denver's ban on pit bull dogs with, of all people, Linda Blair. Linda mopped the debate stage with O'Reilly, and the woman didn't even need to make much of an effort to do so. The other amusement is a recently released 4-DVD set entitled The Forgotten Films of Roscoe Fatty Arbuckle. If all you've read or seen about Arbuckle is connected to Kenneth Anger's entertaining but fraudulent book Hollywood Babylon, this set should be a revelation to you. Unjustly damaged by scandal, the first victim of a Hollywood blacklist, Arbuckle's brilliance still shines in these classic silent two-reelers. It's a bit pricey, of course. It is a 4-DVD set, but it's worth tracking down. At the very least, get a copy through an interlibrary loan, if you need to. And I'm sure that you've all heard by now that the actor Dana Elkar died last Monday at the age of 77. Over the weekend, I've been thinking back to one of his very first jobs in front of a film camera. In fact, it was his first theatrical motion picture, Failsafe, in 1964. His character debates Walter Matthau's at a Washington cocktail party and utters a particularly sharp point. War isn't what it used to be. If only more people over the last 40 years had realized that. And that's it for today. I'll check you out again tomorrow. Thanks for listening. I'm King David McKenzie. Remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space. See you tomorrow.